The reading this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. This is the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. As we begin this new series on the Holy Spirit, we're going to look this morning at Paul's second letter to Timothy under the title, Fan the Flame. I think for some of us, Paul gets a bit of a bad name, doesn't he? We think he's a bit rough and he's a bit uncaring. But in this letter to Timothy, we can see how much he cared, how much he wanted to encourage, how much he wanted to help this young man, Timothy. So Paul is writing from prison. And it's his second letter to Timothy, who he calls his son in the faith. Timothy is a young man. Not quite sure what they mean by young, but he's youngish. And he was a young man of mixed race, mixed faith. And he's been taught the Old Testament scriptures by his mother and his grandmother. And he had become a Christian sometime after hearing Paul preach, which is why Paul calls him my son in the faith. He is now the leader of the church in Ephesus, and it's hard going. Any church leader will tell you leading a church is hard going, even in the best of churches. He needs encouragement, and Paul here is writing to encourage him. We all need encouragement from time to time, don't we? Our life can be hard, our service for God can be difficult. And we're told again and again in the scriptures that we need to encourage one another. Do you give encouragement? When was the last time you encouraged somebody? When was the last time I encouraged somebody? When was the last time that someone encouraged you? And you were grateful for their encouragement. Two of the ways that we can encourage each other are by prayer and communication. At the beginning of this letter, Paul says, I remember you constantly in my prayers. Timothy, I know you're going through a tough time, but be assured of this. I am constantly bringing you to the Lord in prayer. Do we pray for each other? We pray for those who are going through difficult times. We pray for those who are finding life hard. We pray for those who are busy. Do you pray? But also through communication. We have all sorts of ways to communicate these days. We can send somebody a WhatsApp or a text. We can ring them up by phone. We might even send them a letter. You never know. This is what Paul had to do. There was no other way to encourage Timothy. So he sat down and he wrote this letter of encouragement. He tells them that he longs to see him. I really wish I could see you, Timothy. You mean so much to me. But I'm stuck here in prison and you're in Ephesus. I just wish I could see you. He remembers his faith. He says, I remember how much faith you've got, that you've trusted in Christ, that now you're showing that faith in your everyday life. He remembers his faith. And he remembers his gifting. He says, you're a gifted person. God has given you a gift. I'm going to encourage you to use it. Do we long to see each other? Do we encourage each other as we remember people's faith and the impact that it's had on us? Do we encourage people to find out what their gift is that God has given them and to use it in his service? So here he is encouraging him, but he also remembers that Timothy has a lot of weaknesses. He's young. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11 he says, don't let people despise you because you're young. It's good to be young. But we could say, don't let people despise you because you're old. Don't let people look down on you because you're not as fit and healthy as you used to be. But he's young. He might be a bit sickly. In the first letter in chapter 5 verse 23 we read that Paul says, take a little wine for the sake of your stomach because you're frequently ill. In 1 Corinthians 16:10 and 2 Timothy 1 verse 4 he says about being timid. Is Timothy a bit scared? Because he's young, because he's ill, because he's got a Greek father, because he's of mixed race, because he's from a little place called Lystra in the back end of beyond. What's he got to say to anyone? So he's young, sickly and timid. And Paul says, God's spirit lives in you. God's spirit lives in you. And he has given you this gift. And his power is working in you. The power gives him boldness and strength to witness. God's spirit gives him love to really care for the people that he's looking after. And self-discipline, control in tough situations, which he will need when he is a leader. Do we have faith in the Lord? Can someone say to us, I remember your faith, that you have trusted in Jesus? Are we sometimes timid in sharing our faith? I know I am. You might not think I am, but I am. It's a lot easier being out the front here than talking to a couple of people. But some of you are brilliant at talking to a couple of people. Are we sometimes timid in sharing our faith, afraid of what we might be asked, afraid of what people are going to say to us? Are we using the gifts that God has given us? The Holy Spirit who lives within us will give us everything that we need When we are weak, he is strong. We have the treasure of God's word in fallible earthen vessels. But when we allow his spirit to fill us, he will give us all we need. So we should know what our gift is. Do you know what gift God has given you to use in his service? I hope so. But if you don't, ask him. Ask a friend. Phone a friend. What do you think God wants me to do? What gift has he given me? It may be something that you think that you know already, or it might be something very, very surprising. But because God has poured his spirit into your hearts, you have a gift. You need to use your gift. A gift is no good unless it's used. Are you hiding your gift under a bushel? Have you buried it in the ground? Or are you using your gift? Stir up your gift. The more we use our gift, does it become easier? I'm not quite sure about that. But maybe the better it gets. Keep the flame burning. Paul reminds Timothy not to be ashamed of the fact that he, Paul, is in prison, and not to be ashamed of witnessing, even if it leads to suffering. And we read in Hebrews chapter 13 that eventually Timothy himself was imprisoned for his faith. The call to follow Christ is the call to be prepared to suffer for his sake. The call to follow Christ is the call to live a holy life. He says here in verse 8, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." We can't suffer for the gospel without God's power. Our brothers and sisters who suffer around the world today could not suffer without God's power. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart for the service of God. Like all the things in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the temple, plates and dishes and altars and robes, all set aside only for the use of God's worship. If we belong to Christ, and I hope and pray that we all do, we have been set aside as holy people, as saints. You don't have to do anything great to become a saint. You just have to trust in Christ. And then he sets you apart to be holy, to live a life that pleases him, to live a life that honors him, to live a life that helps others to find him too. And in his grace, God calls us to a new life, a life that is possible because by his coming, Jesus destroyed death, brought life and immortality, and gave us his light. When Jesus came into this world, when he died on the cross, when he rose again, he brought salvation, that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved from the consequences of our sin here and in eternity. He brought salvation. He brought grace, God's undeserved favor to those who had turned against him. He brought power, power to live a life that pleases God. He brought holiness. He brought purpose and eternal life. All these things come because of God's grace and his love for us. Have you allowed this light to shine into your heart? Have you received salvation? Have you come to him and said, "Lord, I know I'm not what I should be. I know I've sinned against you. But I thank you that Jesus came and died for me. He died for everyone else, but he died for me. He took my sin and he rose again to be my saviour and my Lord. And I'm trusting in you now. And because of God's grace, Paul is convinced that even in his suffering, he can trust the one in whom he believes. He says this, I know whom I have believed. I feel an old hymn coming on now, but for those of us of a certain genre, I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, or why unworthy as I am, he claimed me as his own. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Notice that Paul says, I know whom I have believed in. I mean, it's important to know what we believe in. But here Paul is saying, I know who. The facts are really, really important. We have to get them right. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven, died on the cross to save sinners and rose again. But Paul is saying, I know whom I believe in. He has put his trust not in a religion, not in a thing, but in Christ. I know whom I have believed. And he's entrusted his life, his service, even his imprisonment and his future into God's hands, knowing that he will be guarded until that day he sees him in heaven. With these words, he encourages Timothy. And he still encourages us today. So what is Paul saying here to Timothy and to us? He's saying, first of all, believe and trust. He says, I know, Timothy, about your faith. Wouldn't it be wonderful if each one of us could look next to the person next to us and say, I know about your faith. I know that you trust in Jesus. And I know that day by day, even in the hardships and the difficulties and the joys, you are trusting in Jesus. Believe in him. Trust in him. And serve him. No matter what the cost. Paul and Timothy both experienced prison. Paul had his head chopped off. He suffered for Christ. We probably won't be called to do that. But we are still called to sometimes suffer. Believe him, trust him, serve him. But if we are often feeling like Timothy, a bit too old, a bit too young, a bit too weak, a bit too timid, not important enough. Paul says here, allow the Holy Spirit of God to make you bold, to make you loving, to stir up the gift that he has given you, to fan into flame. When we think of all that God has done for us, do we yearn to know him better? Do we yearn to serve him more? The only way that we can do it is by spending more time with him, by loving him more, and by trusting him more, to the blessing of others and to the glory of God. Each one of us who love Jesus have a gift. Each one of us who love Jesus have a task. Each one of us who love Jesus have a mission, but it can only be fulfilled with his help. Amen. Let us pray. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord fill your hearts. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Should we bless each other with the words of the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.